the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came. Thus far the text. The correlation between the Old Testament text and the Gospel text for today is not to be missed, but it can be, and often is missed, because the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil do not want you to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, as we confess in the small catechism. The world feeds self-centeredness to you over and over, as it teaches you to strive to make for yourselves a great life. So much for thinking more of your neighbor and yourself. While in the world, you are inundated with message after message, gadget after gadget, with pretty much everything under the sun presented as being all about you. During this Lenten season of penitential preparation, and God willing beyond, stop and take notice of how caught up the world has you, focused on you. The devil certainly feeds this self-centeredness as well, constantly taunting and enticing you to care only for you, so much so that you abandon God's word and trust in numerous idols, with the devil's hope being that you eventually have your entire existence revolve around those idols, so that when trials come, those idols get destroyed or pulled away from you. He desires that you would curse God and turn your back on him completely, because those idols were everything to you. In other words, they were your God. During this Lenten season of penitential preparation, and God willing beyond, stop and take notice of how caught up the devil has you focused on you through idols. Your flesh, however, is also fallen enough, that is, it is completely depraved, so much so that you are inclined to seek to have everything revolve around you. As Luther is found saying, mankind simply has no idea how truly fallen he is. From the texts of the Old Testament and Gospel, your flesh hears of David fighting and defeating the giant Goliath, along with Jesus being sent into the desert to fight with and defeat the devil. But from both texts, your flesh is inclined to think that you are somehow supposed to be poached from them as to how you can be a greater warrior, a strong defender of right and wrong, at least what you consider to be right and wrong. This inclination of your flesh would lead you to take some credit for the control and action. So you would get to tell yourself that you get to be satisfied with you. Why? Because your sinful, self-centered flesh desires everything to revolve around you and what you can accomplish so you get to feel good about yourself. And friends in Christ, during this Lenten season of penitential preparation, and God willing beyond, stop and take notice of how focused you are on you. Repent and believe, which is to say, be Christians. Trust in the merits of Christ for you alone. That is the beauty and the reality of the text that you have breathed upon you this morning, that you're continuing to have breathed into you right now through God's proclamation. Just as you have no idea how fallen you truly are, you also have no idea how blessed, not lucky, how blessed you truly are to have the truth of God's word enter your fallen ears. How's that for a Lenten fast idea? Give up the use of the word luck, or lucky, or luckily, and replace it with blessed. Don't take from these texts more law upon yourselves, believing that they're pointing you back to you, thinking that they're exhorting you to do more, that you must be that brave, that you must know God's word that well, as if it or he depended upon you, as if your Christian walk better look that victorious to others in the world in order to please God. By the grace of God, stop it. By the grace of God, don't fake it. In fact, it's the grace of God that's revealed to you through these blessed texts. Take note of the color that reflects the season of the church year that you're in. Repent and believe. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So hear how God brings his mighty ministry to battle against the world, your flesh, and the devil. Not through your efforts, not through your thoughts of how you can improve on the ways and means of God, not through flashy, energized, emotional, contemporary praise band services, not through program after program of how you can walk a better Christian life, how winning people for Jesus depends upon you. The thing that is not to be missed within these blessed texts is the for you proclamation within them, along with the conflicting ways that God works to accomplish his salvation of you. David is one of the Christ figures from the Old Testament times. He's small and feeble, not appearing to have much power at all. He's armed with a simple sling and some stones, seeming futile when taking the Philistine Goliath into account. But here's the thing. David goes alone into the battle, while the rest of the Israelites do nothing. They have the battle won for them. the feeble, fleshly God-man, Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, goes not into the battle, but into the entire war, alone, while the rest of God's creation does nothing, and never will be able to do anything to contribute to its redemption. Christ wins the victory for you. But instead of slinging stones at Satan, he has the stones slung at him. He has the law due to him and finished with him what it should have finished with you. Christ actually becomes the sin that threatens you, and he gets killed to defeat the old evil foe for you. This is how God works, to ways that confound logic, reason, and practical man, through unbelievable, through the insurmountable, through weak, feeble, simple things, through suffering. St. Paul's inspired letter to the Corinthians reveals this as he writes of the ministry of God in the world. In all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, and yet well-known, as dying, and yet we live, as chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Why? Because we have the Word, which points to Christ's merits. That's everything. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So hear indeed the good news of the gospel. It's been done for you. Christ crucified finished it for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. David is one of the Christ figures from the Old Testament times, displaying how God works in the midst of this fallen world. The Christ figure doesn't need what man thinks he needs for armor. The Christ figure trusts completely in your place. God works through his powerful word of truth, which through his law speaks against mankind like stones that kill, but always pointing to Christ Jesus and his merits alone, his victory alone, over your Goliath of sin, death, devil, world, flesh, and hell. God worked through the feeble-looking, fleshly God-man, Christ Jesus, the truth of God's Word made flesh, yet without armor, stretched out, with even his tunic removed from him. David runs toward Goliath, foreshadowing what was to come. For Christ Jesus not only goes into the desert to meet the tempter alone for you, but Jesus also would set his face toward Jerusalem for the joy that was set before him, going to his crucifixion, wholeheartedly set to defeat the overconfident father of lies for you. He sent no angel to your race of a higher or a lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. For you baptized, for you he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. For you temptation sharp he knew. For you the tempter overthrew. Christ sets the way for his children to go. The same confounding way of suffering. That same unbelievable, insurmountable, weak, and feeble way. Dying and rising through him, Christ crucified. That is the God-given, forgiven Christian walk. And that will bring the new man in you to love and serve your neighbor, caring and fighting for the truth of God's word, not because you have to, because you don't have to. God's word is what holds the power, continually pointing you to Christ, finishing everything for you for the forgiveness of your sins. He has already won the victory. A mighty fortress is your God, a trusty shield and weapon. For you fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. And take they your life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, your victory has been won. The kingdom yours remaineth. For when you are weak, then you are strong. By faith in Christ crucified's merits for you. In the name of the Father, and of the